Any questions? At the present time, the PRT is still with the Operation Enduring Freedom Command, but it's quite clear that in due point, of course, there will be a transfer to the International Security Assistance Force under NATO, and there now seems no reason to think that the backup arrangements would not be as good as we have had. The Americans, of course, are remaining involved in Afghanistan, but the nature of the command is shifting to the International Security Assistance Force under NATO. Well, I'm advised that it's pretty unlikely, and the headline this morning had the words planning nuclear strike in quotation marks. I see that the British Foreign Secretary is reported as saying in the Times that he described the idea that the White House wanted a nuclear strike as, quote, completely nuts, end quote. He has in the past week spent quite a good deal of time with the Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, so one assumes he's well informed.
Can I accept that you'd be more inclined to agree with Jack Straw than Chambers?
Well, as I say, the advice I have is that it's somewhat unlikely, and Mr. Straw has been quite clear that it's not on the agenda.
In terms of the issue of Iran and its current nuclear program, do we have any view on whether we need to join
if the UN Security Council imposes sanctions, then New Zealand, as a member of the UN, would be bound by that. Of course, sanctions are implied by the UN from time to time. They're applied against Iraq, and we observe those. So we would be in a similar position with Iran.
Do you have any position then, though, on the programme as you might do, set that some diplomatic sanctions should be required against?
Well, they're not diplomatic sanctions that are being talked about, to the best of my knowledge. I mean, sanctions tend to take a form of economic sanctions, but sanctions certainly aren't being discussed at the UN at the moment, and I'm told there's a minimum 30-day lead time before the Security Council could even consider sanctions, and all five permanent members would need to agree on sanctions. There is a tremendous amount of diplomacy going on at the present time around the Iran nuclear issue, and we remain optimistic that Iran will agree with those countries which are to the forefront in urging that it come into clear compliance with its obligations under the Non-Proliferation Treaty. Yes, I am satisfied they've been dealt with appropriately. The Minister has seen the Chair of the Corporation this morning. The Chair of the Corporation is, in my view, a particularly capable and competent and honest and upright Chair. I understand that there will be a media briefing in Mr. Carter's office about where they've got to when I've finished this press conference, so you could make your way up there at that point. Well, I think you should put those questions to the Minister of Housing and the Chair of the Board if he's to be at the media briefing. I think they're handling the matter appropriately.
What's your view of the financial settlement?
Oh, quite clearly it's inappropriate to have a gagging clause with respect to speaking to the Minister or Member of Parliament about it, and that's been acknowledged by the Chair of the Board.
When did you find out about the gagging clause and the substantive allegation?
Well, the first I'd heard of any of this was, I think, Friday afternoon.
When did Mr. Carter know?
About the same time, I think.
Should he have known, really?
Well, yes, he should, and that's something he has to take up with the chair of the board. It's understood that the board has only just become informed itself of the gagging clause, but the board was aware of the allegations, and the board has been investigating those allegations, but they didn't advise Mr. Carter of that.
So do you think that the board should have advised Mr. Carter earlier about serious
allegations? Yes, I do, on the basis of the no surprises policy, which is supposed to operate between all Crown agencies, entities, committees, SOEs, CRIs, etc., with their minister.
Do you think it's also slightly misjudged in getting Ernst & Young to carry out the review when they were the ones who had been auditing?
Well, I think you'll find there may be an update on that when you get to Mr. Carter's media conference, but I don't want to preempt that.
Was it appropriate for the corporation to have this internally investigated in the first place? Because it's only when it became public that they decided there was some danger to get it
off. I think at the point it was becoming public, and remember Sunday paper was ringing around prior to Sunday publication, my understanding is that the board itself hadn't been aware of the gagging clause at that point. At that point, the issue assumed more seriousness. But I'm satisfied that the corporation, albeit at a somewhat leisurely pace, was looking at the allegations which have been made.
Just looking at the Punkett line funding, you've been really
Well, I think it's important to be aware of the history of this issue. What Labor wanted funded when it came into office was a 24-hour service for parents with small children to ring. And we did fund that service, and it was funded through Plunkett. At a later point, there was a decision to fund a 24-hour general healthline service. And eventually, Plunkett agreed that it would go in with that healthline service. It so happens that after a period, Plunkett decided that it wasn't happy being a subcontractor to Healthline. And so Plunkett sought to have a separate contract established for the well-child part of the service, and to the best of my knowledge, went along with the idea that that contract should be tendered. Now, when it was tendered, what the Ministry of Health and its evaluators had to weigh up was a quality of service. And they were confronted with one tenderer who has a proven record of answering 90% of calls, and another tenderer which had a much poorer record. That record began to improve at the point that the service was being tendered, but still fell far short of what the successful tenderer was able to offer. Now, the bottom line from the government's point of view is that there must be a 24-hour service that parents of small children can ring, as indeed people with illnesses across New Zealand can ring. Let me make one further point. Often, questions at this press conference or in a range of media interviews or in Parliament are questioning why the government contracts with certain providers where there are quality issues. So I think you would have to ask a pretty serious question as to why the government would want to override the evaluation of a tender process to award it to a tender which clearly fell well short of quality requirements and something as basic as answering calls.
But they see some sort of rule here, I guess, and there's a commission.
Well, I haven't made a decision on that. One does get a little tired in my job of reading about people seeking meetings with you through the media. It so happens this is the only day I'm in Wellington this week, and I have a very full day right through to Easter. I think they should sit down with the Ministry of Health and discuss their issues, but there has been a full tendering process. And let me make another point. It's not so long ago since media were hounding the Ministry of Health for not tendering a contract. I think the one that went to Allen and somebody. Now, the ministry, in the light of that, has revised what it should tender and what it shouldn't, and it took the view that it would be criticised if it did not tender the service. So it did tender. Now, I think people have got to make up their minds what they're criticising the ministry for. Transparent processes or not, open tendering or not, determining it on the quality of service or not. Those are the issues.
Are you able to say which was the more expensive tender? I mean, was it a tender decision based on price?
No, it's a tender decision based on quality of service provided to the public who called the service. And then after that, I understand price is negotiated.
So, Prime Minister, no information about attending the centenaries of the school?
Next week, I don't think so. I think the centenary is next year.
What would you give your government marks out of 10 for the first 6 months?
Oh, well, look, I think that's for others to judge, but let me sum it up this way. We took a month to set up the arrangements for the government, and the arrangements did have innovative elements, and that occasioned a great deal of media comment and scrutiny, and so it should. The media is the fourth estate and should look over arrangements. I think the opposition formed the view that this was going to be a pushover, and with enough screaming and yelling, everything would come to a grinding halt and they would take their rightful places in government. And of course, that's not quite how it's worked out. We have shown that these arrangements are durable. We do work very hard on the relationships which underpin them with the range of parties which we work with. We have been through months of increasingly hysterical opposition attacks on the government. They have not found favour with the public. I think it can be seen that we do have a very substantial work programme for this term of government, and we're getting on with the business. And the last couple of weeks, it seemed to me that the opposition's moved substantially from angry and desperate mode to rather flat and resigned, which is not surprising.
Are you surprised that, you know, given the latitude you gave Mr. Peters in the agreement, that he seems not to have criticise the government, that he seems to have barely used that, and he's, you know, so much an ally of Wilson House?
I think, firstly, that Winston Peters has really enjoyed the job of being a foreign minister, and I think he's put the hours in and made a very serious commitment to it. He's also been very successful in his negotiations for the racing industry. I think most of us in the end come into politics to do something positive, and given the opportunity to do that through participation as a minister, people take that opportunity with open arms. Now, that also gives those involved, of course, a certain stake in the success of the government. And Mr. Peters, I think, is working very hard to show that these arrangements do provide stable government in New Zealand. No, we didn't discuss the possibility of power shortages, but every week we do get graphs, and I suspect the leader of the opposition's really left his visit to Lake Tekapo about a week late. There has been rain. Quite an encouraging upward trend in the graphs of storage, which of course is pleasing. I'm sure the opposition has been praying for no rain, just as they pray for a recession. Clearly no one is listening up there.
Any sign of the Tidewater Hill report yet?
No sign.
Are you getting a bit impatient with that?
No, I'm resigned. It'll come when it comes.
Has he given any indication of what the delay or holdup is?
Not really. I just think, as has been clear from media coverage, there were various other things thrown up the inquiry, and it's just taken time. And I don't want to criticise anybody for that. I just think it's complex, particularly where people's reputations are at stake.
About the company's office inquiry, is Mr. Park in the idea of the network?
I don't have a timeline on that either.